listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Oh, good morning, everyone. You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. I am so pleased to be with you. Blessed, and particularly blessed with our guest, Bob McCoskrie. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Rodney. Nice to be with you again.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And, of course, you head up Family First. It's just done tremendous work. If anyone's looking for any resources on any issue, Family First is your first place to stop because the material is first rate, Bob. Absolutely first rate and so well laid out and explained that even I can follow it.
Well, that's good. I was always taught that if what you write can be understood and followed by an 11-year-old, then most of the adults will probably grab it as well. So
yeah, well, it works for me.
Aim
and,
low.
You do a great job. And these are things, all the issues that you touch on, issues critical of our day, and you wouldn't know the background if you were relying on the media.
Well, that's what worries me a little bit, Rodney, is that some people still think that you can get reliable information out of our, I call them legacy media, mainstream media, corporate media, government compromised media. Some people still think that you're going to get a balanced, unbiased opinion. I don't think they report the news anymore. They sort of report little bits of it and then push a very strong agenda. And I've actually just recently done a McBlog where I've tried to train my viewers on how to respond to the media and actually watch how they ask questions. And even in their questions, there's a whole lot of loaded terms and negative labels. And I don't know if you've seen, Rodney, but the leader of the opposition in Canada, Pierre Poilievre, who's likely to be the next prime minister once they get rid of, and not a moment too soon,
Mr. Trudeau.
But Pierre Poilievre is just a master.
He's a master.
Pushing back media statements and labels. And you would have got plenty of them, Rodney, in your time in Parliament, where they throw in a label like right-wing or, you know, negative conservative or bigot. And it's designed to push a underlying message irrespective of your answer. And so, yeah, I did a little bit of a training exercise on McBlog, which people can watch. Using actually an example of Jenna Lynch from Stuff interviewing Simeon Brown, the Minister of Health. And basically implying that every woman in New Zealand is petrified of Simeon Brown because Simeon Brown believes that an unborn child is a human being. And every woman in New Zealand apparently is scared, according to Jenna Lynch. So I've just shown that as an example in how you push back on that type of indoctrination.
But people looking for that, they can go to Family First, and it's McBlog, which is a wonderful production. You'll have seen that great one appear when he first came to my attention was him being interviewed eating the apple.
Yeah, I actually show that clip. And, of course, you know, the interviewer says, well, you're a populist. And Pierre immediately says, well, what is a populist? What do you mean by that? And then the interviewer says, well, you know, people say that you're taking a page out of Trump's book. And Pierre says, well, what page? Can you give me the page number?
And also, that fabulous interview that Elon Musk did with that BBC journalist, did you ever see that? Like a year or two ago when he took over Twitter.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Journalist came in and he had him in and he sat down and he destroyed him.
Roasted.
About what BBC had done and he had it filmed and he put it up. And you think, and of course, the master of it is J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
The absolute master.
Yeah. I think in 4 years, when Trump is forced to retire, we may have 8 years of J.D. Vance. I think that'll be very entertaining.
Very entertaining. Now, you and I, we have to put this out there because not everyone is like us, but you and I are total fanboys of Mr. Trump.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say that you I don't agree with a lot of his lifestyle choices that he made over the years. I actually, as I observe him and I observe his marriage, his children, his grandchildren, and some of his values, I actually think that there's been a bit of molding and molding of Trump in a way that a lot of people don't want to acknowledge. And I also think that near-death experience with the assassination also has softened him a little. But at the end of the day, as I blogged before the election, I said, if I have the choice between someone with a clean sheet and terrible policies, or someone who's had a tough past and doesn't have a clean sheet but has brilliant policies, I'll always take the brilliant policies, because I'm voting for the policies, not for the historical mistakes made. And, of course, the example I always use is actually from the Bible. Rodney is King David, who was an absolute rotter when it came to adultery and murder, for those who know the scripture and know where he basically took out the husband of a woman that he was ogling up as she bathed. They'll know that, yeah, we've all been down that track of having made mistakes and having been redeemed in some way. I think Trump has been redeemed in some way.
Yes. His children and grandchildren are amazing.
Yeah.
Because how many rich people do you know whose children are just wrecks? Mm. And I'm thinking particularly Hollywood celebrities that criticize them. And oftentimes you feel with American politicians that they sort of grab the Bible to sort of political purposes. But I now have a sense that Trump is a true believer, particularly, as you say, after his near-death experience. Tell me, we've never seen anything like this, ever. This is just, I never thought I'd be alive to see the state so comprehensively rolled back and on the back foot. I just didn't think it would be conceivably possible. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me this remarkable confluence of Trump having had 4 years off, of what we call the deep state coming after him by all the foul means possible, him actually surviving it and standing up to it, of actually getting into power and knowing exactly what he's up against, that the bureaucracy and the state will stop at nothing to get at him, and then having alongside him a genius in Elon Musk, who seems to have the ability to build companies of vast size and complexity and run them efficiently and well. And it's proving that he can also take that analysis to government, which we never thought would have been possible. It's unprecedented in any way, shape or form, Bob.
Well, I think the funny thing to watch is that they just keep coming out with a brilliant new edict every day. And so the Democrats are picking themselves up off the floor, having been, you know, boxed in a corner and unable to respond, suddenly there's another one. I actually, little preview, Rodney, I was thinking of doing up a meme comparing Trump to our own conservative leader, Chris Luxon. So on the on the left, I would have a picture of Trump, and these are the policies that he's done. I made a quick list. I'll go through them quick. Created a policy with only two sexes, male and female, tick. Ended gender transitions for people under 19, tick. Federal funds shall not be used to promote gender ideology, tick. Enforcing the Hyde Amendment, which means Americans aren't forced to fund abortions around the world, tick. Ending radical indoctrination in schooling, tick. Exited World Health Organization, great. End of DEI programs, and so basically colorblind and merit-based society, tick. Withdrew from the Paris Climate Alarmism Agreement. Additional measures to combat anti-Semitism. Restored freedom of speech. and pardoned 23 peaceful pro-lifers who were unjustly imprisoned by Biden. So that's on Trump's side. And then on Luxon's side, I would have promised that he would resign if the extreme abortion law was changed.
And that's it?
That's conservative politics in New Zealand.
It's a different world now. It hasn't quite caught up. In a year's time, Luxon's going to look like a fish out of water.
Well, in a year's time, we'll be in election year, and you've got the three-headed beast all competing for votes. That's when the action is. I mean, Seymour, Peters, Luxon are being polite to each other, but I tell you what, the gloves are off this time next year.
Yes.
And that's when we're going to see some action.
Favourite policy of Donald Trump so far?
Well, I think the two sexes, male and female, is the key one. And in fact, way back in 2013, 2014, one of my board members said to me, Bob, the issue is not gay marriage, actually, that we're dealing with here. The issue is the doing away with gender requirements, full stop. Because once you do that, you then remove anything that is sex specific, mothers, fathers, son, daughter, pregnant woman. You confuse marriage, you confuse the fact that your son can actually be a female. I mean, you think about all the laws, they've all been endorsing the birth certificates, FAST, where you can put your own sex on the birth certificate, the conversion therapy, because they wanted to criminalize people who affirm their sons as boys. All of those things were based around gender confusion. And so, you know, they said that same-sex marriage wouldn't affect anybody and love is love. But in fact, what it was a stepping stone to just more confusion around gender. And when you think about all the policies, and now, of course, they're going into schools and telling kids that they can choose from 112 genders and 200-plus sexualities. So the same-sex marriage was actually just the tipping point of confusing gender. And, of course, that goes back to confusing how we are created, male and female. And if you can do that, you remove the nuclear family, which is their ultimate goal. Even Black Lives Matter, which was a money fundraising group masquerading as so-called, you know, supporting for blacks, they admitted in their charter that they wanted to destroy the nuclear family. They quickly removed that when people noticed it, but that's always been the goal of these left-wing groups. They hate the traditional family, they hate the nuclear family, because it spells everything around gender, the purpose of sex, the role of mothers and fathers, the importance of marriage, the right of parents to raise their children. So, yeah, to me, that's the number one.
The leaders of these groups are actually mentally unwell. Like, their hatred of the family is so obvious.
Yeah.
And when they are confronted with someone like Trump, you actually see them as unhinged.
Mm.
And that's, again, another thing that you and I are enjoying immensely. It looks silly here in New Zealand. In the United States now, on your passport, you've got two choices, male or female.
Mm.
Here in New Zealand, you go to the local high school and you get a drop-down menu of 72 genders.
Mm.
How crazy do we look? How out of step? You must have enjoyed the exposure of USAID.
Yeah, look, I don't think people realise just how much left-wing groups had taken over USAID, which I think deep down was well-intentioned. I think there's a role for the US to be supporting countries.
Because that's how they work.
Well, in fact, New Zealand is doing the, you know, there's this big debate at the moment about New Zealand with the Cook Islands.
Mm.
And New Zealand has invested in the Cook Islands. There's been a relationship there and it's been, you know, supporting the Cook Islands. And now the Cook Islands are almost, you know, poking us in the eyeball and saying, actually, no, we're going to go and talk to the Chinese. I mean, that's just been a complete breakdown in foreign relations on that aspect. But that is an example of USAID. But the problem with USAID is that lefties overtook it deep in the belly of USA and used megabucks to fund just complete quackery and wokeness around the world, transgender musicals and sending condoms to Gaza, which were actually used, my understanding were that they were used as mini explosives or something. And so there's been all this exposure about dangerous spending. Now, look, I agree with some of the criticism of just they've sort of thrown out, what's the saying, thrown out the baby with the bathwater. And there is a lot of work of USAID.
Oh, I think you're wrong on this, Bob.
Do you? Do you reckon it's all corrupt?
I think they do this, and I wouldn't have realised this a month ago. They have completely – that $50 billion a year is money laundering for overthrow of governments and propagandizing even right through to New Zealand, the New Zealand Herald, TV stations and stuff totally compromised by USAID because they've come down here and trained journalists to be responsible, but more particularly they have funded responsible, quote, journalism by setting up potential advertising boycotts. So I could never understand why the likes of you and me can't get our columns that used to be accepted into the Herald. Well, the reason would be that someone would stand there, funded by USAID, and say, well, we've got this list of your advertisers, and they've signed up to responsible journalism, which, of course, Toyota New Zealand or whoever would.
Yeah.
And we have them, and we'll give you a black mark, and they won't advertise with you. So you better get rid of Bob McCoskrie. And not even that, they won't even let you advertise.
Well, maybe that's why they wouldn't print our advertisement as a woman, and maybe that's why they've never rung me for comment. Maybe
that's exactly right. It's USAID. Now, here's what they're good at. Is amongst us 50 billion, they'll have three puppies. And there'll be three puppies being fed. And this is an analogy. And then what happens when the 50 billion gets threatened, they say, well, who'll look after the puppies? It's classic, Bob.
Yeah.
And what I love about Musk is, I hadn't realized this, he just keeps going until things break. And then he said, the great thing is we can put them back together. So rather than try and unpick the budget, Trump has to do it. They cancel the budget and then add the puppies in.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reason that I think there is some concern, I read a report in Christianity Today that said that, for example, the HIV/AIDS treatment that supports 20 million people on antiretroviral drugs, mostly in Africa, was shut down. Some of USAID's budget goes to groups like Samaritan's Purse, which is Franklin Graham's group, very good group, World Vision, World Relief, Catholic Relief Services, and other faith-based groups. So, look, I think you're right. If they can get rid of all the left-wing wokeism and spend the money on groups that actually do need it and protect countries from getting investment from China and Russia, then that's a good thing, but yes. That's a big if.
And I don't think you can do it surgically. I think they actually, because once they start arguing,
that may be true. Mm.
They actually have to cut it off and start again. Conservative causes are fashionable, and the polling is showing his big supporters coming from the young.
Yeah, it's very interesting that, in fact, we saw this trend even with the pro-life cause that the younger generations were actually becoming more pro-life than pro-abortion. And I think it's not surprising because our generation, or the younger generations, not ours, Rodney, but the younger generations had the benefit of ultrasound and 3D ultrasound. They've been able to see incredible footage of the unborn child in the womb. And so, therefore, then to argue that it's just a blob of tissues or just no different to, an appendix or tonsils that should be just cut out if not needed, people realise the humanity of the unborn child. So the younger generations are actually becoming more pro-life. And I think that as the arguments are put up, see, the part of the reason is because we've had a very strong left-wing media that has been pushing a certain narrative. Now, because of the rise of social media and the rise of alternatives, like, for example, Reality Check Radio and others, that we're actually, people are actually hearing both sides of the story. And, you know, I'm actually amazed how many people even watch McBlog. I mean, I don't know if I specifically...
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but it's even the younger ones that seem to relate to just wanting to hear. They can understand that the left-wing liberal argument is not right, it's not working, and yet they just need an explanation of why it's not and how they can argue their side. And, of course, that's why Trump was elected, because there was a big turnaround of the younger generation, and they are becoming more conservative because they've seen the evidence of left-wing policies and the harm it's done.
I saw a great analysis that says he's very good at picking these 80-20 issues where 80% are on support with him and the Democrats, crazily, are against him. So, for example, when he kicked men masquerading as women at a women's sport, he's surrounded by these young kids, these young girls and women, and they're all clapping and cheering, and it looked so wholesome and wonderful. And, of course, the Democrats are against this, and they can't win on it. Likewise, just a silly little thing, but it means a lot to me, how many people get angry when they decide to treat themselves to a McDonald's and you get that paper bloody straw that collapses halfway through your milkshake? And he's brought back plastic straws. I mean, that is so wonderful, isn't it? God, if you brought back plastic bags in the supermarket for when you forget to bring a bag and you're struggling around with a paper bag that bursts halfway to the car in the rain.
Were you at my place yesterday, Rodney? Because I was just raging about all the blimmin' recyclable bags that are sitting around that we've bought because we forget to take a plastic bag.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
And the plastic bags that you bring home from the supermarket, you'd use over and over and over in your house. It's not like you used them once and threw them away. But we have to go through this hideous performance.
But you'll remember in your political day that one of the things that sunk Helen Clark as Prime Minister was when there was floated the idea of regulating the pressure out of our shower head.
It did. It did. And I tell you who you will have forgotten is who was promoting that.
Go on.
Shane Jones.
Shane Jones. Classic.
It was some policy that was in some department and it floated up, and it was a bit like, we can go back further to Muldoon and the cats and the dairies.
Yeah.
You too young for that one?
Yeah, too young for that one, sorry.
So the Labor government were in 72, 75, I think it was, I stand to be corrected, and a policy floated up that pussycats in the corner dairy were to be banned. And Muldoon came out and says, you know, families can keep their pet. And, of course, it just cut home, right? It was just one of those. And that shower head moment, of course, was huge. These things, that plastic straw thing, I wouldn't go to McDonald's all that often. But when I go, I enjoy a milkshake, and the paper straw infuriates me.
So annoying. I know.
So we've got a great year ahead of us. Put your crystal ball on. Pull out your crystal ball. Are Christians allowed to have a crystal ball? I suppose they're not.
Well, the Bible is a crystal ball. It tells us what's going to happen and who wins in the end. You ask for my prediction, I would just like to comment on something that is just around the trust in the media. It's probably why most people are listening to us now, Rodney, is because they've already got a distrust in the mainstream media. But I still am shocked by the number of what I call thinking conservatives who are still relying on legacy media to get some of their facts. I just hope that when they read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the New Zealand Herald and watch One News and stuff and Radio New Zealand, that they understand that there is unfortunately a deep rottenness in there of wanting to push propaganda rather than simply report news. And I just hope that people are gaining their information from a number of sources and always checking the reliability of that source. I mean, look, even we get caught out. In January, there was a report that Immigration New Zealand was stopping IDF soldiers coming into New Zealand from Israel. Look, that seemed like a legitimate report, and then Immigration New Zealand said that wasn't happening, so we corrected what we'd reported. It's just a reminder that we always have to check our sources.
Always.
But then again, I also don't always trust a government department, so I'd like to say that the jury is still slightly out on that particular issue.
It's extraordinary, because if you're relying on the legacy media, you're bewildered.
Yeah.
You're bewildered as to why President Trump won.
Yep.
And you're bewildered to what is happening, because the journalists themselves are bewildered by it. Mm. But to people like you and me and our listeners, we understand it perfectly.
Yeah.
We understand it. We listened to President Trump on Joe Rogan. We've followed the debates on X. We actually know what is happening. And then you pick up the Herald and you think, on what planet are these people? And these journalists saying, oh, I didn't think Donald Trump was going to win. How did that happen? No, look into the Bible. I don't think it will help you for this, but where's New Zealand politics in a year's time heading into our election?
Well, my concern with conservatives have always been that they've been conservative not only in name, but conservative in nature. So when they come into power, they don't undo all the damage that a left-wing government has done. They just don't touch it. They don't go near it. So, I mean, classic example that we're both passionate about, Rodney, is the whole pushing, and it's one of the policies that I would be second on my list for Trump, is doing away with chemicalizing and castrating young gender-confused children and pushing the whole gender confusion in schools. So when the government was replaced last year, at the end of the previous year, to 2023, and, you know, people said, hey, look, you need to get rid of the RSE, Relationship Sexuality Education. You need to stop pumping our kids with puberty blockers if they're gender confused. Stop pushing that there's 112 genders to choose from. The Conservative government, they don't keep pushing it, but they don't stop it. They don't fix it. They don't reclaim the ground. And unfortunately, that's what I think everybody has been surprised with Trump. He's delivered on what he's promised, and he's pushed back, and he's regained some ground of common sense. I keep saying the adults are back in charge.
Funny, I've just written that.
And that's what it feels like. The adults are back in charge. We're back to male and female. We're not chemicalizing gender-confused kids. We're not telling them they can change their sex. We're actually hiring people based on merit and achievement, not just because of their sexuality, gender, or race. And so there's a whole lot of, you know, good policies that Trump has actually delivered on. National don't, you know, I mean, the fact that National came into the last election saying, they came in with one pledge. Luxon said, I will resign before I change the abortion law. Well, what kind of right-wing conservative politician comes in with that pledge? I mean, he can't actually stop it anyway. He's one of 123.
Useless. He is useless. Now, I've got to take a wee bow here, because I went on your show and you said, how do you rate the government? And I said 0 out of 10.
Yeah. And that was generous.
And everyone was going 7 or 8, you know, give them time. Yeah. Mm. 0 out of 10 now, right? 0 out of 10. I'd rather Jacinda Ardern back on this basis. I would actually have some hope of something better. At the moment, this is as good as it gets for New Zealand.
I think in fairness, there's been some areas that they should get credit for. I think there's no doubt about it. They're getting schools back to reading, writing and arithmetic. I say that partly because I have a family member who's a primary school teacher and says, look, we're getting back to the basics, and that's a good thing. I think there's been some good developments in terms of accountability for those in state housing and their behaviour. There's good good accountability for those who are receiving the benefit and expecting them to look for jobs. I think foreign investment is good in the country. So there are some positive, but they tend to be, Rodney, all in the economic area. They're kind of easy to tick off ones. It's the moral issues. It's the fabric of society. It's marriage, the family, the role of parents, which we've always, and the respect for life that we've always been concerned about. And those are the ones that they just don't want to go anywhere near.
And you've been rightly concerned. And imagine this in a year's time. Discussions that we haven't been able to have in the media, discussions that we haven't heard politically, are being mainstreamed by President Trump. And that's going to affect us, isn't it? I mean, you can't just pull out of Paris and the World Health Organization and not actually have a ripple effect down to us to actually asking why, and maybe we should too, if you know what I mean. And likewise with two genders, this is going to have a big impact. And we're going to feel, the likes of you and me, we're emboldened now to demand better of our leaders. It's nothing but a positive. And you feel as though the United States of America is now a beacon.
Yeah, and I think the pushback on that is, why do you keep talking about American politics? As you rightly said, your keywords were the flow down effect. Now, they'll say, and I'm getting this pushback, why do you keep talking about American politics? It doesn't affect us. Actually, it does. It was actually Obama suddenly realizing that, no, he did support gay marriage for whatever unknown reason. That actually influenced John Key to suddenly go soft at the knees and start supporting it just before the new law was introduced. This was 2012. Roe v. Wade is overturned. Well, if American politics doesn't flow down and influence New Zealand, why is it that our media, the whole media, manifested and went crazy when Roe v. Wade was overturned? I mean, it's American. Why is it that they've gone crazy and that Trump drives them absolutely bananas and into derangement? It's because of the flow down effect. And whether we like it or not, the United States has significant impact on the culture, and that flows down to New Zealand. So to all those people who say, why do you keep talking about American politics? It's because there's a very strong connection. Whether you like it or not, it happens. And you can guarantee that if there were policies that if Kamala, we dodged a bullet. If Kamala had become the president, there would be all these radical left-wing policies.
Western civilization was gone.
Yep, and our media would have been pushing and campaigning for every one of her policies to also be included in New Zealand. So it's got to go both ways. So if you say to me, why do you keep talking about American politics? It's because I'm a realist, and people need to get real about the impact it's having.
I like the saying, it's probably naughty, but I like the saying on the internet that the dads are back in charge. And you sort of feel that in the sense that it's masculine men who have taken charge, like in a natural disaster or something. They've stepped up, taken charge, this is how things are going to go, and there's no ifs, no buts, no maybes, this is happening. And of course the contrast for America is so sharp after the Biden years, where he was so incompetent and so senile, and of course Kamala, who was incoherent at best.
I do find it interesting, Rodney, in that you know, it's not only the dads in charge, but it's very smart women as well. You know, Susie Wiles, the chief, the House Chief of Staff. We had a Susie Wiles, but a slightly different one, didn't we? You know, Tulsi Gabbard, who's actually an ex-Democrat, who's now the Director of National
Intelligence. They're all ex-Democrats. Elon Musk was a Democrat.
So was Trump, yeah.
So was Trump. I mean, that's an extraordinary thing. The Democrats have driven them away.
Yeah.
Have driven them away. And so you have these extraordinarily capable people. And, of course, they've driven their voters away. And they're continuing to drive them away now because you can't be standing up for fraud and corruption and plastic and paper straws. There you go, Bob.
Great segue.
Great talking.
Always good.
We're talking to Bob McCoskrie. Always great. Family First, go to their webpage. It's wonderful material. Bob, God bless you.
Thank you, Rodney. Always good to be with you.
You take care.
From caps to tees and bags to bumper stickers, we have you covered. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.